Hello. All right. I'll talk. Okay. Once again, good morning, everybody. I just love this message. It's definitely, I call it a meat and potatoes message. But with all my sermons, I always have to start off with just the awesome icebreaker bad dad joke. So it's customary. What did the green grape say to the purple grape? Breathe, man, breathe. Come on. All right, how does NASA organize a party? They plan it. All right, last one. My teacher said I never amount to anything because I procrastinate so much. I told them, just you wait. All right, so today we're going to be in 3 John. I love this book. Like I said, it's just like a meat and potatoes message. It's Christian hospitality, praying for the prosperity of others, walking in the truth, pursuing holiness. It's actually for a little book. It has quite a bit into it. I like to just open with just a story. When I was a kid, when it comes to Christian hospitality, we had some awesome neighbors right one door down from us. It was called the Joys. And that was their last name, believe it or not, Fred and Neil Joy. And as a little kid, I was about 8 years old. My brother, he was 4. And on summer, when school was out in summer break, we would always go over to Mr. and Mrs. Joy's and knock on the door. And she would let us in, and we would talk, and she'd give us some orange juice. And then she had some donut holes, and we were just like, this is amazing. And we would, every morning we would do this, and I remember Mrs. Joy asked me, said, now, didn't your mom give you any breakfast? And I would say, nope, no breakfast at all. My mom wanted to kill me and my brother. My brother was just like, nope, 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 nope. You just do it, say what, that's what Bob said. So I just remember my mom, she was so mad at me when Mrs. Joy told her. She's like, you, I made you eggs this morning. But that's Christian hospitality, just having a neighbor next door, in this case, giving me donut holes. They did so many things for us. Now, they did play some practical jokes on me. Like one time, they took a Snickers bar. Well, this was Mr. Joy, and he nailed it to the fence post. And I don't know, it's probably like 7 at the time. So I'm like, Snickers bar, wow. And I'm like trying to get this, like, what? I was so stupid. I didn't rip open the package and get to it. I just got mad and went, oh, it won't come off. And so my little brother went by, and he just like ripped it open and got the Snickers bar. And Mr. Joy was just laughing on the side there. He thought it was funny. That's just Christian hospitality, and I love it. Maybe not so it's nailing the Snickers bar to the post, but just having fun in the Lord. And so really, today we're going to be kind of going over these 5 points, and there's a lot to 3 John, but we're going to be praying for the prosperity of others. We're going to be talking about walking in the truth. We're talked about practicing hospitality, that's the main point, pursuing holiness, and then warning against selfish pride. All right, so let's get to 3 John, verse 1, the elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. All right, so this letter is unique in the New Testament in that it's actually addressed to one individual. There's a few of these. Some of them are just like an open letter. Some of them are to specific churches. This one is unique in that it is to Gaius. The name Gaius is mentioned several times in the New Testament. And we don't know if this is the same Gaius that is mentioned in Acts or in 1 Corinthians where Paul said he baptized Gaius. Gaius is also mentioned in, Romans 16:23. And then 1 Corinthians 1:14 and Acts 19:29. And all this is where Gaius, maybe it's the same person, maybe it's not. I kind of think it is, but that's just my opinion. He just really practiced Christian hospitality, Christian fellowship, and he was always there helping out the apostles. And so this letter is to Gaius. And first thing he says, John says he prays for prosperity in health, prosperity in your soul, prosperity in material things. It's really about all things in your life, whether all vectors, material things, your health, your soul, your walk with the Lord. He just prays for this. Now, the word, the Greek word here also can refer to what's called sound doctrine. And he's saying, hey, I pray for prosperity in sound doctrine. And it's really, the prosperity is really a result. It's being steadfast in your walk in the faith. Your faithfulness will be a joy and encouragement to others. However, prosperity should not be the end in itself. It ought to be the result of a quality of life, a commitment, a dedication. The word prosper here actually literally means to help on the road or succeed in reaching. And what John is saying to Gaius is, hey, you by walking in the word, by having excellent prosperity, it's a process by all the things you're doing. And when you're helping others, you actually become, it comes back to you. In Luke 6:38, it says, give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I know that's, you know, in this world today, especially in business, it's always about, you know, what's good for me. And what God is saying here is, hey, the same measure you use for others will be given back to you. It's very similar to this, the principle of sowing and reaping, where if you're sowing into something a lot, you'll reap a lot. If you use an even measure, a good measure for others, if you are generous, the same measure will come back to you. And part of this is having sound doctrine, being grounded in the word. And we'll see this on verse 3. For it says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So what does it mean to walk in the truth? Well, part of it is not being held hostage to lies. You know, when you're walking in the truth, there's things that come up, and the devil, he's the teller of lies. He's got all kinds of lies out there now. And when we get sidetracked on lies, it really prevents us from walking in what God has for us. For example, we may have some unforgiveness in our lives for some others, and that's preventing a breakthrough in our lives. So if we're walking in the truth, if we are knowing what God says, we're not going to fall for things that are out there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as you are in the light, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. So we need to walk in the truth, but also walk in the light. That it says, hey, when you walk in the light, you have fellowship with others, and Jesus will cleanse you from all sins. And I think that's just an amazing promise that's given to us. So what are some of the things that are out there that derail us? They're, you know, the big lies right now, one of them is, hey, you can change your gender. And that is absolutely not. You're down to the cellular level. God says that you were made, you're wonderfully and created in the womb, that he specifically knew who you are. And when we get sidetracked into that, it prevents just a whole host of things. Sometimes we can get caught up in the occult. That's another lie that's out there. You know, he says, oh, you can dabble in this and won't have any problems. You will have problems. So we need to be really cognizant of what is true. We need to be walking in the truth. We can't be held hostage to these lies that are out there. Another lie that is really popular in the culture right now is, you can have sex before marriage, and it's all good. Nothing bad will happen. That is absolutely a total lie. And that affects you. It affects everyone else. You get a whole host of issues that will affect you. There could be many diseases. This is not good. But the devil and the culture and the world is telling you this, and it's absolutely not true. And so how do we walk in the truth? Well, part of it is we have to be grounded in the Word. That's the first thing. That's just step one. But there's another thing we have to do, and that is we have to have the Holy Spirit with us. We have to have the comforter. We have to have the guider out there. And so when I think of the Holy Spirit in this case, I kind of think of like a mom that's out there just telling you now don't listen to this person here. Let me help you on this. Because there's going to be instances in your life that come up where you may not necessarily remember all the things that are in the Word. Like here I was trying to remember, I had memorized 1 John 1:7, and I just completely lost it there. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you to have discernment in items, to understand situations. Because sometimes in the Word, it'll tell you, there is some interpretation there. And so the Word will definitely keep you on the straight and narrow, but the Holy Spirit will really pile the path and help you out. In 1 Kings 2:4, it says, "So that the Lord may carry out his promise, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful on the way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." And so this was the King David. So he's saying, hey, if you walk in the truth, if this is in your heart and on your soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. That's that prosperity that John was talking about to Gaius. It's a walk. It's a continuous motion in the Word, and you're helping others out. And the promise that God gave to King David here is, hey, you'll not lack a man on the throne. And you notice how long that lasted, that he got to Solomon, and then everything got derailed after that. Now, there were ups and downs, but he says, hey, if you walk in the truth, you'll get this. So it's a continuous process. Let's move on to 3 John 5:8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on the journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because you went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers of the truth. So I have here, this is hospitality. I don't know if this probably doesn't show very well. You see this giraffe with his neck sticking out there. He's blocking the rain for these little guys there. If you look at the definition of hospitality, it's the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers. So it tells us here that we are to be hospitable to not just fellow workers in the Word, but also others, and just about everybody. It says here in Luke 10, verses 5 through 7, "But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages." So we see this all over the place in the Bible. In 1 Peter 4:9, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." In Matthew 10:40, he says, "He who receives me and he who receives me receives him who sent me." So what is all this saying? So we're given straight up commands saying, hey, you need to be hospitable to others. But there's a special hospitality we're to give to folks that are working in the Word, that are giving their lives to preaching the gospel, bringing God's presence to others. And, examples of this would be missionaries. So it says, hey, you need to be especially hospitable to them. And so what does this mean? It means rolling out the red carpet for these folks. It really means putting them above yourself. It's like whatever the best you have, you give to them, because hey, you want to be fellow workers. But more than that, what God is saying is, hey, when you're when you show that hospitality to others, you're doing it to me and to the one and to my Father. He's saying directly, he's linking it. When you're showing this love to others, it's like you're showing it to me. It's like you're not just rolling out the red carpet for this person. You're not giving them the best just for that person. You're actually doing it to me. And by the way, when you do it to somebody, it comes back. So the same measure that you use for others will be used for you. And he's just really stressing that, hey, you need to do their best to love on others, especially those that are in the ministry, especially those that are, you know, the missionaries that are out there. Give with a thankful heart. That went quick. Okay, the next point. I can get to it. Okay, in verse 11, this next point is pursuing holiness. And so we want to pray for the prosperity and health of others. We want to walk in the word, walk in the truth, walk in the light. We want to pursue and give great hospitality. The next thing we want to do is pursue holiness. In 3 John verse 11, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Psalm 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Psalm 37, verse 27, just like verse 14 says, "Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore." So what is all this saying? He's saying, hey, don't imitate evil. You need to look on what is good. You need to pursue things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, whatever things that are lovely, think on these things. Don't get caught up in what the world has. Don't get caught up in the latest, you know, thing that's out there. It could be a worldly fashion thing. It could be a singer that is doing something that is interesting but he's saying, hey, you need to focus in on the things that are praiseworthy, that really edify God. And you need to imitate them, not evil. And we have a lot of examples. You know, just the other day we had Halloween, and Halloween is full of all kinds of negative things there that are not to be thought of, and that are not praiseworthy. All the ghosts and the goblins and all that. That's really not something that we can acknowledge it, but that's not something we want to be focusing in on. There's a lot of things on TV. I don't have cable television. But what I've heard is there's just a lot of things that are not praiseworthy there, and we should not focus in on there. But he's saying, hey, don't just subtract. Don't just say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not, you know, that's, you can do that for a little while, but you have to replace it with something else. You have to replace it with something that is lovely, something that is pure. And so, like, for example, in our family, we substituted cable television and we brought in PureFlix or something like that, something that has, you know, a good Christian movies for it. So I think what John is saying is, hey, those negative things, those things that are evil, you got to cut them out and pursue things that are righteous. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So you gotta flee those things, and you gotta pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those that can call upon the Lord with a pure heart. All right. Last point. All right. This one is the dangers of fame and selfish pride. So 3 John, there's only one chapter. That's verses 9 through 10. It says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotephrenes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating," that means talking nonsense, "against us with malicious words, And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Like I said, prating means talking nonsense. Preeminence means like a superiority. This is an example, this is a negative example of like wrong hospitality. So when we get sidetracked and we're not walking in the word, we're not walking in the light as he is in the light, we can get sidetracked into thinking things that are not correct. So Diotrephes got sidetracked and was actually saying, hey, that John was not a good guy, basically. And he did not receive the apostle. And I don't think I'd want to be on Diotrephes' side of the ledger. I messed that up his name, aren't I? Call him D. He put selfish pride above else. And so why did he do this? I think he wanted to be number one in the church. I think he said, hey, this is my church instead of this is God's church. You know, Jesus is being the head. And this is really just selfish pride. You know, I got the graphic here of the guy. He's like, it's me. No, it's not about you. It's about him. And we can get sidetracked with lies, and pride is definitely one of those. In 1 Timothy 6:3, it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which accords with godliness. In 1 Timothy 1:10, it says, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when we will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own selfish desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers. So we see an example where he's saying, hey, he's actually he's putting out the Christian believers in the church. And that's absolutely the wrong thing. And see, if you're grounded in the word, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you, I guarantee you he's not going to tell you to put out Christian believers out of the church for your own selfish motives. But we have here that a bad example, and I think God is saying here is, hey, this is what happens when you get sidetracked on this. And so, in summary, you know, praying for the prosperity and the health of others, we walk in the truth, we walk in the light as he is in the light, so we can have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all our sins. In the next verse, it says, if we claim to have no sin, then there's no truth in us. And even better, in the next verse, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I got to memorize. Good. And so these are just awesome things that these are awesome promises that God gives us when we walk in the truth, when we walk in the light, when we pursue holiness, when we have good Christian hospitality, and we avoid the dangers of selfish pride. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close in a prayer, but I definitely invite anybody here that has a prayer need. Maybe there is, you know, a word of knowledge you need. There's maybe a health concern, or just you just like to pray for guidance. Myself, Stan and David and Jeff and all our wives are definitely, and anybody here really, is open to help and pray over these needs. So I'll go ahead and close this in prayer, and if anybody has any need, just come right up and we'll pray for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this message today, that this just to remind us of, you know, we probably heard a message like this many times, but it's always good to be reminded. Oh Lord, help us to show good hospitality to others, to put others first, to love one another as you love us. Oh Lord, I just pray for holiness, that we don't get caught up in all the lies of the world, Lord, that we rely on you, that we are in the word, and that you will cleanse us with the word. Oh Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody here that has any health needs, that those get healed, Lord. there's anybody that has a particular need, that you will miraculously come in and fill that and give that knowledge that is needed, or that guidance and the wisdom, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just pray that we won't get caught up in puffery and pride, that you will just keep us from those miraculously, Lord. And Lord, we just love you, and we just thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.